Well, it's a privilege to be able to share with you today, and I really feel I have a word from the Lord. I want to start with just a little bit about, you know, who I am and who we are, and it's going to lead right into what I really feel like the Lord placed on my heart today. Back in 2000, that's 25 years ago, I was a youth pastor finishing my 12th year at a church in Woburn, and there's a handful here still that were there with me. And doing that, in fact, I met another couple that we, back then, 25 years ago, we prayed for their 8-year-old son, and they remember the very service where the prophetic word came that called me out to begin to serve New England and regionally bring really what Josiah was doing, some of that, right? There they are. But I was living in the parsonage of a church, and I was reading a revival narrative right before God called me out of this church that I was faithfully serving in. And all I remember is it was something to do with, you know, this revival narrative about the greatness of God. And I remember when I was reading this, I just fell apart and began to weep because I said, God, I want you to take my life and spend it. I want you to use my life to produce something so far beyond human ability that no man can take credit for it, that it's far beyond anything a man could do. And I remember just at that point saying, you know, I mean, we built this wonderful youth ministry. We had probably about 50, 60 youth, and we had a youth Bible college. Like it was a pretty happening youth ministry, I gotta say. And I said, Lord, if this could happen all over New England, we had been pouring ourselves into like some revival narratives with Jonathan Edwards and, you know, just really discovered youth as a flashpoint of revival in that great awakening. And so we said, you know, if God's done this in this one church, why couldn't he do it in churches all over New England? And so we went and we began these trailblazing apostolic teams that would go in different churches, different denominations, and we would raise up youth ministries and leaders to lead it and move on to another church. At one point, we were doing 10 churches in several states because we're kind of centrally located. And we were going in, and if there wasn't a youth group, we'd hit the streets, we'd win kids to the Lord, bring them into this church, and then leave a youth group with them to, and we'd stay there for up to 2 years and just plant these youth ministries because we believed youth were a flashpoint of revival. And so we just went all over New England and did these things. You know, one of the things that Ravenhill said was, he said, God asks men to do not what they can, but what they can't. To prove that no sleight of hand does it, but that they link their impotence to his omnipotence. The word impossible is dropped from their vocabulary. So we started with these conferences and everything like this. You know, many of the people in this room, Jonathan was part of that season of our life where we were running across New England, and so many other leaders that we have relationships with still today. And then my mentor, David Midwood, who is now passed, but he was a dear friend, mentor, father figure. And we were on a walk one day, as we normally would do once a week or so. And he said, you know, Sean, you need to start a church. I said, oh, no, David, I don't want to start a church. I just want to help the church, big C, all over New England. That's what I want to do. And he said, yeah, but you know what, Sean, people that you're winning to the Lord, they need a family to be a part of. You need to allow a place for people to grow, you know, and really enter into authentic relationship with God and family. And so after a lot of like persuasion, he was persuasive, I said, okay, I'm going to do this. So shared with the team, we started it. Then we started, you know, Bangor Crossing in Maine. All of our bases, our U-Storm apostolic bases became churches. Netherlands, Amelo, Netherlands. And we started these churches. And then, you know, out of this, there was a real shift. And we ended up, after being on this property, we received this property after meeting in a school. This thing has 100 acres, 8 buildings. That whole story is a whole testimony of God's supernatural provision and making a way where there's no way. You know, like for those of you who have come in and just said, oh my gosh, this place, wow. And you look around for the people in our church, I think many times we take it for granted and we become familiar with the amazing thing God has established over 25 years. Well, we've been here 12 years, just 12 years. I was meeting with the police chief about the tent, you know, because that was one of my agonizing intercessory events this past week. I think 3 days of going, oh God, because we could not get our permit or our inspection. And so we were like in this, like before God crucible. And I was just like, oh God, I spared Josiah a couple days. But then Friday I said, dude, we have a decision to make, but we may just have to like go at this. And then I made a 20th phone call. I had found the fire chief's day cell phone in my phone from 10 years ago, the previous chief. And I said, I'm going to just try this. Hit the button. He goes, hello. I'm like, I left like, I'm telling you, 20 times I called all week long. And their normal inspection period was only 2 days, and they lost their guy. The guy's struggling with cancer, so they had to have a part-time guy come in. So they said, we cannot give you an inspection this week. So this guy said, Steve, I need you to help me out. Can you help me? He said, what do you need, Sean? I said, I need you to buzz by the tent and get me an inspection. He goes, no problem. 5 minutes down the road, I'll be right there. So, man, that's never happened before so quickly. And then when he came, he said, you know, Sean, I just want to tell you guys what an amazing job you've done at this place. You have done such a great job in this church with this property. Folks, that's from someone in our community that is just a bystander. Never really been here except to do an inspection. I mean, come on, that is like, that's a testimony. And I think we take it for granted. We take for granted what the Lord has done. And this could be for you and back at your church when you go back. Don't take for granted the amazing things God has done. Don't let the enemy rob it from you. Don't forget it. Keep it before you. Remember the greatness of God. Remember the ways he's delivered you and set you free and the way he's done impossible things and made them possible. Come on, Jesus. Light us on fire. So anyway, we've been here 12 years, and we believe we've been faithful stewarding this place, which means a lot of hard work, especially with a farm. But we believe it's going to be a destination for people to encounter God, and a resource center for the region, maybe the world, and an international airport in the spirit where there is teams coming and going. This is like a fulfillment of just the beginning part of the prophecy. This has been an airport for this event. And that's why you have been a fulfillment of a dream and a prophetic word. And I believe it's just the beginning of what God is doing. We're sitting here believing that God's going to use us, this small little church in New Hampshire, to win 1 million souls for the Lord. And I believe God's using this event, meaning you who are assembled here, you are a part of this effective, active, catalytic force to shift and further establish the purposes of heaven in our churches and over our region. I believe, I found it very confirming in worship that, because I saw there was one gentleman that texted me early this morning and confirmed a second confirmation about giant doors in the heavenly, too big for men to close or shut, closing and opening. And God was doing this through the worship and through the intercession. I feel like there's a massive impartation and shifting taking place from even what Apostle Grace is releasing and shifting in this place. I'll tell you, those of you, don't take for granted that God has brought such a man like this across the world to serve us and to pour out of his heart to see the church furthered and the work of God and the kingdom in our New England area furthered. We need to thank God for just opening doors and making a way. Well, I want to get in the word here. That was just kind of an introduction, but it's very relevant because that prayer that I prayed is really what I see taking place in John 17. If you look at verse 13 here, Jesus said, "But now I am coming to you, and I say these things while I am still in the world, so that you may experience my joy made full and complete and perfect within them, filling their hearts with my delight." Wesley, that was her prophetic word as well, about God filling us with his delight. You know, and as we read, I want you to remember the beginning prayer that I prayed. My prayer in the early years was for God to do something so great that all would know that it was him, that it was far beyond human ability. John 17 is the manifestation of this. It starts with your life being changed and transformed to reflect his greatness, his image, his virtue and supernatural abilities, and his nature, his joy being made full and complete and perfect. Now, I want you to stop right there. How many of you, through Jesus coming into your life, have become an impossibility made possible? Come on. I mean, hopefully everybody in this place, there's been a demonstration of God's virtue that has entered into your heart and totally transformed you. I mean, many would have looked at you, I'm sure they did, your friends who saw God come into your heart and your life and said, "What has happened to you? Like, that's impossible. What? Joe serving the Lord? No way. Impossible. Not with God." Now, compound that with this whole prayer out of John 17 and imagine the fulfillment of this, not just being individual, where God comes in and transforms us and demonstrates and declares to the world, impossible is possible. Now imagine him saying, "I'm going to bring this to a whole new level. I am going to bring people together, all different kinds. I'm going to bring them together in such a powerful, unifying way that it's going to astound the world. They're going to be, it is impossible." It's a whole nother level of testifying of the greatness of God. I mean, just think about this. Verse 14. "Have given them your word, your message you gave me," Jesus said. "And the world's hated them because they are not of the world and do not belong to the world. Just as I am not of the world and do not belong to it. Father, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them and protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Set them apart for your purposes. Make them holy. Your word is truth. Just as you commissioned and sent me into the world, I have now commissioned and sent them," believers, "into the world. For their sake, I sanctify myself to do your will, so that they may be sanctified, set apart, dedicated, made holy in your truth. You have been sanctified, brothers and sisters, set apart, dedicated, made holy by Christ himself. Nothing of your own works. He has done it. He sanctified himself that you would be sanctified, set apart, made right." I'll tell you what, there's people in this room that don't know the Lord. And God's brought you here today because he wants to do the impossible in your life and make it possible. You may be sitting here and you might say, you know, there's no way in hell that I would follow Jesus. He doesn't want me. And I'm here today to tell you, he wants you, and there is a way in hell. He made it. And you're here today, the impossible is going to be made possible. He is calling you to himself today, and he's going to make great reversals in your heart and your mind, and he's going to do things you never thought were possible. Jesus continues, he says, I do not pray for these alone. Listen to this, talking about a man who thinks over generations. He's like, I'm not talking about the people in front of me, Father. I want to make this request, that all of those who will ever believe and trust in me through the message of the gospel, I pray for them this same blessing. That's us, folks. Every human that's breathing in this room, he is calling you into a place of unity, as united as he is to the Father. That they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe without any doubt that you sent me. Do you see that? Your personal transformation, it might testify to the people around you that God is real and he really came to this earth. It's the greatest testimony of evangelism and witness that can be made, is your life being changed. But now you take us all becoming one, being brought in regardless of race, culture, background, upbringing, class, whether you're rich or poor, educated, non-educated. And this amazing miracle of people coming together. Folks, we can't even get five people in a room to agree. And God's saying, I'm going to bring my body together in such a way that's going to cause the world to be astounded. It's happening. Impossible is being made possible. The only way to enter this unity is for us to leave behind the things that try to keep us back from entering into this. It's your human wisdom. It's our preferences. It's our physical limitations, our culture, our race, even our human language sometimes. Do you ever realize you're just limited? You just don't know the words, but you can see it and feel it inside you. So you need to pray in the Spirit. Past offenses, hurt, heart struggles, fears. We lay these all behind that we could come into Christ. His mind, his wisdom, his perspectives. Isaiah 55 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Apostle Grace talked about hunger last night. And I want to close today with just a pressing into prayer and ministry impartation, where we come and we're willing to do the hard work of laying the things down that are trying to hold us back from entering into Christ. We can't bring offense with us. We can't bring unforgiveness with us. We can't bring our own opinions with us, because you can't have your opinion and the mind of Christ at the same time. And we need to make this great exchange. We need to come to a place where we're literally willing to lay down these things and say, God, I need you. I need your mind. I need your perspective, right? He doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. We sit there and we go, oh, that person, how could you use them? And God's like, oh, you should see my plans. Wait till you see what I do. I tell you, so I've repented so much for misjudging outward appearances. And this is our opportunity. We're going to come and lay down all these things. Some of you are dealing with fears. Like, you're always saying, but what if? What if? What if what? God's not faithful? God won't fulfill what he promised to your heart. We lay down our fears. We lay down our opinions. We lay down our offenses. Folks, unforgiveness will rob us blind. It robs us from even being forgiven. Let's come today and let's press in and just lay things down at the altar. If the worship team, come on up here. We're going to lay these things down, and what I really felt like the Lord was going to do is bring us into a place in his heart, in him. And where we lay these things down, we're going to enter into a new freedom in Christ and begin to receive revelation, understanding his heart, his perspectives. And I'd really like, if you're a leader here, let's just really press in and go somewhere. I know he's going to do something powerful. It's going to be impartation. There's going to just be, I really feel like he's going to begin to speak and click another gear in this cogwheel of these wheels in the wheels. Lord, we just come to you right now. We lift our hearts up to you right now. Lord, we recognize that as individuals, we're part of this process, but it doesn't end with us, Lord. It's about us all being joined and fitted together in this masterpiece, the church, where the manifold wisdom of God is being declared to the heavenly realms, and we are a part of that, Lord, but not all of it. Lord, shine through this prism of our lives today, collectively, that, Lord, things would be shifted, that there'd be testimony and witnessing and declaration to the heavenly principalities and powers. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Come on, let's just start by responding individually. What is God calling you to lay down? Lay down and get out of the way, and then just doesn't stop there. It's press in. Once you lay that down, press in. Don't leave a void. Lay down that fear and then say, Lord, now, right now, I want to receive faith from your throne. Deposit something fresh and new in me for what you have before me. For those of you with unforgiveness, lay it down and then just say, Father, right now, I just pray. I pray for a washing me clean. And then begin to pray for those who you've released. Feel there's some people here, you're clouded with just a negativity. You don't even want it over your life. It's just a cloud. And you're like, how can I get out of this darkness? It's just everything I see, everything. It just rises up in me that I see everything as half full and just not good enough and irritating. You know, I dare you today to just lay it at the altar and say, God, come, change me. Make me a declarer of faith and good report and truth. Cause me to see things that aren't as though they are and begin to speak them forth and declare them. Life where there's death, the clinking of dry bones coming alive. Let me be a repairer of the breach. Let me speak to those things that are dead to come alive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Sweep over us, Father. Sweep over us, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, respond out of your hearts to God. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make way for the King. Make way for the new season. Lord, moving, fulfilling his purposes and work in his people.